Okay, so we are going to start with our study of Proverbs. I hope that the message this morning is one that you'll take time to think about. If you would like a copy of the notes, I can send those to you. That's, you know, and then also those links. Be sure you keep your bulletin and listen to those podcasts. They will help you in thinking through some of those issues. I think that'll be helpful. But I really do not want to discuss this topic in our session today because it's an intense topic. And I'll turn to a topic that is totally non-controversial, money, for this session. So that's the idea. Okay, so Wisdom and Wealth, Part 3. Hopefully we will be able to conclude today this section. And there are some areas, you know, there are some things that we're coming up with in Proverbs or that will come up that I will have to say can be controversial too. And so you stay tuned. We still have subjects. More controversy to come. All right, so the things we talked about a couple of weeks ago, things that are better than money, things money cannot do. Then these 7 points last week, God's viewpoint about acquiring money, God's warnings about the effect of ill-gotten gains, God giving cannot atone for ill-gotten gain, the value of diligence in acquiring money, the value of honesty in acquiring money, the value of righteousness, integrity, or justice in acquiring money, the value of mutual benefit in acquiring money. So that's what we were talking about last time. This week it is how to lose money. Then the sub question, do we need lessons in this? Okay, I seem to know how to do this without even being taught. All right, so we're going to look at some Proverbs and then we'll see some principles here. All right, so Proverbs 24:30-31, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. So, what fails to gain wealth and loses what wealth has? What wealth it has? The sluggard, another word? There you go, my wife got the word. Okay, laziness. Okay, well, sluggard, that's the same. That does too. But okay, so that's the idea. It's the opposite of the diligence. I mean, the Proverbs does teach us to be diligent. And so laziness fails to gain wealth, loses what wealth it has. Not sure that's not very controversial. I think most of us would agree with that. Okay, so, but there is the opposite, of course, is diligence. So I'll give you that. I went ahead and I've been talking. So Proverbs 23-27, know well the condition of your flocks. Pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. There will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and the sustenance of your maidens. So diligence is the opposite, and it is what Proverbs instructs us about. All right, any comments before I move on to the next? Or that's pretty self-evident. Let's move on. All right, these two Proverbs, 11:8 and 28:22. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed. A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know what that want will come upon him. All right, so the strange way, what contributes to poverty? Not righteousness. Yes.
Treacherousness.
Well, we're getting closer. Greed, Debbie says. Okay, greed, yes. Greed. Greed. Strange way that greed contributes to poverty. You think you have pictures of the miserly man. Okay? Very greedy. But it ends in poverty. And they're in one way or another. It could be poverty of soul. Money, there's another verse I'm not sure if it's in the Proverbs, but it says, money grows wings and flies away, right? And, you know, I have found, you're trying to save money and then your brakes go, and then you know, this last week we had, All four tire sensors on the van went. They're dead. And so we're getting the low pressure light. So the guy says, well, you want to fix it? It's $70 a piece. I didn't tell Debbie this part. I'm doing it here from the safety of the pulpit. So they didn't charge me for installation, but it did cost nearly $300. It's like, I didn't want that. All right. Now I wasn't that, but it wasn't my greed that was the cause of this. I'm thinking about money flies, gets wings and flies away. All right. Any comments on this? Anything else you'd like to, James?
Yeah, that comment of yours about the brake just reminded me I gotta get mine done too.
Oh, yeah, there goes your savings.
I'm one of the law. Watch out when I leave.
That's right. All right. Anybody else have, Debbie?
So this is dealing with like the get rich quick.
The get rich quick. The person who you have to watch your motivations and what you're doing. I talked last time about the book, my dad in his library, How to Get Rich Slowly but Almost Surely. Careful saving, working hard, diligent investment, and eventually you'll have enough to die on, basically, is the theory. All right, Gordon.
Just because you mentioned that, you know, your tires or whatever, yep. I guess it cost you, and it wasn't greed that caused it. So in business, yeah. Lots of times you have machinery breakdown or yeah. things you have to buy this, whatever things. And the sometimes like people think that, it's not wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
But like the other guy has to make a living too.
Yes.
Right? So like when your car breaks down,
yeah.
That guy's going to make a living.
Absolutely.
Send his kids to school and everything else.
That's right.
It's the wheel. That
Let his kids off. Starve is what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm just, it's a joke. It's a joke. Please.
Yeah. But, right. So it's just the part of life.
That's part of life. All right. Lee wants to add something.
And I know these are like kind of generalizations. I've also seen like maybe it's the motivation of greed lead to, I would say, tremendous wealth. But the person that I know of like kind of left that path of destruction behind.
That's right. So Lee is saying the greed may actually, it can lead to tremendous wealth in terms of dollars.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of destruction that's left behind in the life. And that is absolutely true. Okay? All right, so let's move on to the next one. And as Lee also mentioned, these are generalizations, so they're not universally true. All right, so Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. So what is this one talking about? The what rarely keep wealth? Okay, impulsive, Debbie says. Does anybody else have a different word?
No, it says the hasty.
The hasty, okay. So, the impetuous is what I have. So, do you want the correct authorized version? Put that in your blanks. Okay, impetuous. So, there is risk in any kind of investment, in any kind of business you get yourself involved in. Of course there's risk. But that's why you plan carefully and you create a business plan. If you go to the bank for a loan for a business, they want a plan for how you're going to repay that. That's what a business plan is for. And the impetuous rush into something without thinking through all the details, and it comes surely to poverty. It is a way very easily to lose money. Any comments on that, Lola?
That verse also tries to tell us that get rich quick schemes
yes.
are likely to, you know, get you into poverty.
That's right. Likely to get you into trouble. And they're out there. You just search the internet, how to get rich, and you will find lots of schemes. Okay. You know, they're so available. You know, I have to confess, I have gotten bitten by things like this myself. Not speaking like this, the wise, all-knowing sage up here. All right, so, Lee.
Sorry, I just wanted to, I think some of my worst financial decisions were made, things I've made in haste, and I know that I also lost out on opportunity because I didn't use haste, but
yeah.
I think overall, the end product is much more positive in the long run. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the longer view is generally safer and actually more successful.
Yeah.
The rush, you rush in, it's like, You kick yourself afterwards, right? Okay, so these Proverbs. Proverbs 5, 7 through 10. Now then, my sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one, and the strangers will be filled with your strength, and your hard-earned goods will go to the house of an alien. That's Proverbs 5. Proverbs 23, 20 to 21. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine, or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. All right, so Elchuzen, what can drain away money from these Proverbs? Anybody besides my wife want to offer an answer?
Companions.
Companions. All right, so that one is the source there. Companions. So you have to be careful about who you go into business with. And even in investments, you have to be careful about who you invest with. There's plenty of people out there that are not wise, careful companions. And the person that is sort of, you know, giving you the big sell job, they're not always your best bet. All right, any comments on that one? Well, Jebby says it's not just business partners, it's friends in general. Well, that's true, but we're talking about money in this section. So, but that's true. Any partner, any companions. Marlene.
Well, if we leave God out of the equation, no put him first, go to him in prayer, we're going to not choose
right.
The right way we should.
That's right. So if you're not walking with God, you will make bad choices. And that's right. All right. Anybody else have a comment? Okay, so let's move to the next one. All right, so this one might be a little harder to grasp. Okay, so Proverbs 21:20, there is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. Okay, and then Proverbs 25:16, have you found honey? Eat only what you need, that you not have it in excess and vomit it. Kind of a gross verse. All right, so what are we talking about here? What runs through money quickly?
Would it be indulgence?
Indulgence. All right, Christy, what do you want?
Squandering.
Squandering. Okay, so I'll give you the authorized version. Extravagance, okay? So either of those other words are fine, squandering or indulgence. All right, so it is hard... I've been told it is hard to spend a lot of money. But a certain presidential campaign spent $1 billion in 100 days. I don't know how they did that. That's what they say, more than $1 billion. Yeah, so some people say, I'd like to try. If it wasn't my money, that would be one thing. If I had authority over $1 billion, I wouldn't mind trying to spend it. But I probably would spend it on different things. All right, but extravagance runs through money quickly. So these things we've been talking about are how to lose money. All of this, how would we sum this up? We're talking about a spirit or a person who is self-focused, self-indulgent, undisciplined, is not thinking long-term. Okay, and so it is wisdom. Wisdom says we learn to turn away from this kind of activity. Now, it doesn't mean that you're never going to make mistakes, and doesn't mean that you may be impetuous at some point in your life, and it'll cost you. And hopefully, you'll learn that lesson and don't do it again. But the spirit that we're trying to get at here is a spirit that is sober. Is hardworking, is diligent, is focused. That's what we're trying to talk about when we're talking about our approach to money. Any comments on this generally, on the idea of losing money and the character qualities that can lose money for you? Everybody, Maureen?
I was just going to say, losing money and extravagance, I guess when you see people who accumulate wealth,
yes,
sometimes their children,
right,
lose it very quickly.
Yes.
Because they haven't had to work hard to get it.
Yes. Okay. So Maureen says sometimes those who have accumulated wealth, their children run through it very quickly because they haven't had to work hard to get it. I am a fan of the Anthony Trollope novels, and that is a persistent problem in these landed gentry that he writes about. And so they're in debt because they are, well, we're country squires. We don't have to work, and we just spend money. And so they rise up debts, and then they become the servant to the lender. And they think the way to solve their problem is to take on more debt. And I've read a lot of these books, and I just think, why does this character just not get a job? Well, the gentry don't do that, you see. We work? Like, no, we're not doing that. For pay? Believe them. All right, Christy.
The best piece of wisdom that my mom gave me was, like, we grew up with money was usually tight.
Yes.
She's very gracious. She didn't just say no. She right. said, now, Christy, is that a need or a want?
Right.
And when you teach a child to start thinking that way, they're not even going to ask for half the things.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Is that a need or a want? Yes, that's a good question. That is wisdom. All right. So now the last little section, how to use money. Okay. Yes, we need lessons in this. Okay. Yes. How to use money. Okay. So Proverbs. Now this one, how's our clock doing? We're good. We should be able to make through all of this and then I'll be finished with this topic. Okay. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We have an obligation to give to God. Okay, we have an obligation to give to God. So this is part of wisdom. And I do not like to talk about giving very much because it is, it seems somewhat in a conflict. The church... My salary comes from the church's income. But we do have an obligation to give to God, and we should have a philosophy that we want to give of the blessings God has given to us. We want to give them to the work of the Lord and to serve Him. All right, let's move on to the next one. All right, several Proverbs here. And do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Now, the term to whom it is due is the owners. Could be translated owners. Do not withhold good from those who own it. Okay. Related to this, Deuteronomy 24:15, you will give him his wages on his day before the sun sets, for he is poor and sets his heart on it, so that he will not cry against you to the Lord, and it become a sin in you. And there's a reference also in Leviticus, similar. James 5:4, behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. We have an obligation to what? To others, and that without delay. What is? Can you think of what that means? Now, Marlena. Pay for the work, okay? And even beyond that, pay our debts. Pay our debts to others. Okay, so yes, the worker, when his wages are due, you have to pay him. You have an obligation. And then when you have your debts come due, you have an obligation to pay your debts. Okay, so any comment on that one? Don't have to have a comment. I'm just like to give you the opportunity, and I still have one more sip of coffee to get through. All right. Proverbs 31:21-22. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. This is the Proverbs 31 woman. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We have a responsibility to do what for our own household?
Provide.
We have a responsibility to provide for our own household. So how to use money? Well, this is one of the things we must do. Any comments there? I think that's pretty obvious. Okay. All right. So then another bit of wisdom on money. Proverbs 13:24-26. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. That's Proverbs 11. Proverbs 14:21, he who despises his neighbor sins, but happy is he who is gracious to the poor. And then Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. All right, so we have an obligation to do what for the poor? Yes, Rosemary.
Be gracious.
Be gracious, all right. Any other suggestions? Look out for, okay. So, pardon me? Help them? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I had is help provide for the poor. Now that doesn't mean that, you know, we are going to solve every person's problem with money, but we do want to help people who are in need. Okay, so that is an obligation that is given to us in the scriptures. Any comments on that particular principle? Gordon?
1 John 2:17-18, we probably know them. Right, whoso hath this world's good, see his brother have need. Right?
Right. I'm trying to...
How dwelleth the love of God in you?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if that's the right reference. That's why I'm looking puzzled. Is it 1 John 2? I know the verse. The verse is right.
Yeah, okay.
The verse is right. I just don't know where it is.
It's in 1 John.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah, it's in 1 John.
1 John.
Is it?
3:7. Yeah.
Oh, 3. You said 2, and I was trying to think,
yeah,
two.
I
think 2.
Two. Right.
That's right.
Three,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so that's right. Whoever has the world's good and refuses his brother.
That's yeah. Right. 1 John 3:17.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah. That's what was confusing me. That's why I was looking so puzzled at you.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know all my verses by exact address, but it just didn't seem to...
That's proof that I don't either.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the thing is, you memorize verses and then trying to get the actual location down. Okay, Christy.
Is there a word differentiation there between brother and neighbor? Like, is that talking about fellow believers?
Where are we at?
The one that...
14:21 says neighbor.
No, where? The one just referenced.
So oh, that Gordon said. Oh.
Is it brother?
What does it say?
But whoso hath his world's goods and sees his brother hath
brothers.
Yeah. So I'm just curious if that is a specific reference to other believers or if
Well, I'm not sure that it would necessarily be. I mean, often that word in the New Testament is used to refer to believers, but I'm not certain that it would be in that verse.
I'm certainly not
arguing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you go to the next verse, it sort of answers the question.
Oh,
does it?
Right?
My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more than just your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and it's easy to...
We love those who love us.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't do any different than the rest of the world.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Okay, so... how many more do I have? I have two more. Okay. So, go to the ant. I want to see this I have memorized in the King James. Oh, sluggard. I want to say it the other way. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. It's a great passage. And then Proverbs 21:20. There is precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up. So we should make provision for what needs?
Future
needs, all right? So we do have to take thought for the future. So there are, you know, many different means and vehicles doing that. It shouldn't be your obsession that, you know... but it is something we should take thought for and make provision for. All right, Christy. It is wise to do that, in other words.
Isn't there a verse that says, take no thought for tomorrow?
Yes, there is a verse that says, take no thought for tomorrow. But that isn't...
It specifies what not to think about.
Oh.
What you shall eat or what you shall put on.
Yes, well, that's sort of the same thing.
But I guess that one's more about not worrying.
That's more about not worrying. Yeah. That's right, yes. But there is wisdom here. So the point is, this is wisdom. It is wise to provide for your future. Now, let's say you build, you know, what do we have here? RSPs. Okay, so you have, you build up your RSPs so that you are comfortable for retirement besides whatever pension you have. But they are in a vehicle that is in a bank somewhere, and banks can fail. And the mutual fund can be, if it's in a mutual fund, can turn into dust. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but those things can happen. So we don't put our trust in that. Our trust is in the Lord. But it is wise to do what we can to provide for the future. That's the point we're making. We're talking about wisdom here, not about, okay, if you aren't doing this, you're a sinner. Okay, because my provision for the future is very slight. It's the house, and if all else fails, I'll sell the house and try to live on that. That's the bottom line. Anyway, so of course, how much the house will be worth when that happens? Okay, all right. Any comments on this, Christy? Oh, Marilyn, go ahead.
I'm just thinking, I know there are a lot of people in Victoria who are in dire poverty through the fault of their own.
Right.
But I'm also thinking about the people who live in tents on Pandora Avenue.
Right.
I can't really pass judgment on them, but I know quite a few of them, maybe a lot of them, are drug addicts.
Right.
So what should be our attitude towards them?
Well, okay, so that's the question. So we're talking about poor people. And there are people who are, circumstances have put them into poverty. They don't have much money. And then we have people who are almost deliberately poor because they're drug addicts or have other similar problems. So, I think we should have compassion towards all people in terms of our personal relationships. I don't think that we should just necessarily hand over cash to somebody who is indigent. We need to try to help them get so that they are in a better place. To help, maybe educate them, give them a job, help them to earn some money, find ways to help them in that way. Maybe we're somewhat limited as an individual, but what I'm saying is that if you just pour money into a person who is a squanderer of money, you aren't going to get a responsible person coming out the other side. So we need to somehow help people to, as the proverb, there is a proverb, a secular proverb, I'd rather teach a man how to fish than to give him a fish, right? All right, so Crystal, do you want to jump in there?
Well, in Ontario, where I I was a single woman. I had a house,
yep,
with a big yard,
yep,
and I didn't want to cut the grass by myself.
Right.
So there was an agency where unemployed men, people living in poverty, could go to that agency, and they wait there until somebody calls in and says,
right,
I need somebody to cut my grass,
right,
or reattach the soffit or whatever.
Right.
And then they come and work for their money. So you pay them,
that's right,
cash, and yep, then they work for it.
Right, right. I think that's far better than many other methods that just handing, as I say, just handing people cash. All right, you're not Christy, you're Lee. close. You're sitting next to each other. You might know her.
Yeah, I often think about this one because, especially the drug addiction thing, not giving them more drugs, but actually giving people the help and the tools and
yeah,
come down. But also, as much as I don't like this company, the CBC, they aired something, it was 18, 20 years ago, where they went around and they went to people that were on the streets and offered them jobs. We're not talking anything special, but laborer jobs and stuff. And I know they only focused on one guy. Only one out of the 20 people that they showcased actually was interested. Everyone else on the street made an excuse or had this, I have this social.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this one guy was so grateful and actually did turn his life around. But it was interesting watching that because there was
A problem. There is a problem in our society that those things are allowed to be.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know the solutions. I'm not an expert.
There's not easy solutions.
All right. And I will say also, when we have had sometimes people approach us, as a church for help, okay, for groceries, right? They're, while we're hungry, starving, they tell you some kind of story. Now, sometimes they're lying to you, okay? We never give anybody cash money, okay, never. We have sometimes given a card to, like, thrifties where they would be able to purchase groceries. Or sometimes we'll just go get some groceries. It may be, not be their choice. It may not be, it'll be nutritious. It'll be something they can use. We also have, I've taken people to like A&W or somewhere, just buy them a lunch. That's fine. But we have to be careful. Okay, so Christy.
I just see the tension line through the whole teachings of the scripture. So we're supposed to be good stewards. We're supposed to store up for our own future. But we don't want to be like the man who went and built bigger barns.
Right.
And we need to still care for the needs of others around us.
That's right.
And also, in the end, not trusting in our own wealth, but profit the man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul.
That's right. Yes, there is a tension there, and that's absolutely right. So we're talking about wisdom. Remember, we're not talking about absolutes, but wisdom. How do we handle the money that we've got? Right, so Rob wants to add something here.
Well, and it's all great helping the needy, but I think that some of the modern church movements confuse social gospel with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right, right. It's a real tension. We don't want to turn it into this is the mission of the church. But as individuals, we do need to be compassionate. All right, so let's move on to the last one. And this one is, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So, we should make provision for an inheritance. Okay, so, now is this a requirement? No, this is wisdom. So, it is normal and right for parents to lay up for their children. It isn't, it doesn't mean that If you have been one of those who do not have much to lay up, that you're somehow unrighteous. That's not the case. But as a practice, our laying up for our future also should provide ultimately something for our kids' future, for their blessing. But this is wisdom from Proverbs. All right. Any last comments on this point? Or any others that we've talked about? I thought I saw a hand, but maybe.
No, it was mine. I think there is another proverb that says a wicked man does not store up an inheritance for his.
There are four verses in Proverbs that talk about inheritance. Mm-hmm. This is the positive one. I forget what the other one says. And it was more, it really didn't fit with this
yeah,
thing.
It would be more probably like a squanderer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other? Debbie?
I guess Chrissy's comment about what her mom would say, is this a need or a want, reminded me of that lady that came to our church for years, and she always said, God has promised to provide for your needs, not your greeds.
Yeah, that's right.
She had a number of things she was known for saying in that one.
Yes, okay, any, yes, Willa.
Question, please. Yeah. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous.
Yes.
That.
Well, okay. So what he's saying there is the wicked person may be storing up wealth for himself, but proverbially, what happens is that he dies and somebody else gets it. Okay. So it's sort of the opposite. Opposite. A good man who leaves an inheritance. Okay, so the opposite is a bad man who is trying to gain money for himself, and then he dies, and he doesn't benefit from it. Somebody else does. In the Ecclesiastes, Solomon has a line in there. I don't remember which chapter, but he says something about you work for all your money and I'm summarizing, it's not the exact words. And then you die and you don't get to spend it, your kids spend it. So this is what he's saying. I think it's similar wisdom here. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything else I can add. Debbie, do you want?
Is it also similar to the parable that the Lord taught about the talents and how the guy who didn't do anything with his talent, he ended up giving it to the guy who was diligent?
Okay, so Debbie reminds us of the parable of the talents where there's three categories, and the guys who are diligent, they receive a reward. The last one hides it, doesn't gain anything from it. He just hoards it, and then when the master comes, he takes it away from him and he gives it to the one who had the most. So that's perhaps an illustration of that principle. And remember, these are not absolutes. You can say, oh yeah, I knew some very wicked people and their kids inherited a lot of money and they're just as wicked. Okay, this is a general principle here. That's what Proverbs are. Okay, Marilyn.
And it's better to store up treasures in heaven.
It is better to store up treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus said. That's right. Okay, so anything else you'd like to say? We've sort of covered a survey of what the proverb says about wealth. Anything else that you'd like to ask or in the terms of wisdom with respect to money? Rob.
Would it be correct to say, like, this is Solomon, it's written about 3,000 years ago, and there's some cultures today where the parents and grandparents all live, the kids support them in their old age
yes.
in that house.
I think that's a good idea.
Would that be part of what this inheritance is also to look after? Like today, a lot of people are on their own until they die, and they
yeah.
need that money that
yeah.
might not be an inheritance.
That's true. It is the cultures are different, and there's some things we've lost in the generational home, that's for sure. I don't know. I think that it is wise. So for us in our age, in our life, it is wise to do what we can to provide for our declining years when we cannot earn money anymore. That's a wisdom, piece of wisdom. Now, there's no guarantee. Like I said, it's you do what you can, but in the end, you have to trust God. All right. Maureen?
I think that when I was at the point where I could retire, that was a real point of, what's the right word? The verse that Christy mentioned about, take no thought for tomorrow.
Yes.
You have to think about that because you're so used to working
yeah.
to earn your living.
Yeah.
Because the life is so uncertain and the world is so uncertain and there's wars here and wars there and governments
yeah.
are spending more money. And I think, what if my pension plan fails?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because you put all this investment into it.
Yes.
You know, and all these years that I thought, how can I stop working? You know what I mean? Like it.
Yeah.
There is a bit of an anxiety that you could have about the future if you think about all the what ifs.
That's right.
But
yeah.
if you remind yourself that God, you know, like my parents went through the Depression, my grandmother went through very hard times, and
yes.
you know that God sustains people through difficulties.
Yes, that's right. And that's actually, if we study history and like that, read about the Depression, and you'll feel a lot wealthier,
yes.
and you'll trust God more. It's an amazing, it was an amazing period of history. All right, so let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time today. We thank you for the wisdom of Proverbs about money. It's all practical instruction. Lord, help us to be practically instructed and to follow your wisdom in how we conduct our lives day to day in our culture, in our times. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.